It's been a long week. We have talked about punk music with Henry Rollins, about the role of net neutrality in healthcare, also Atlanta's Bitcoin ATMs, and as we do every Friday, it's time to take a breath. We have a group of smart people here. We're going to kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck happened since Monday. It's time for the break room.
Hoda is officially the co-anchor of today. Let's give her a round of applause.
70 people are behind bars tonight, and each person is charged with possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana.
If I get elected president, I'm going to be in the White House a lot. I'm not leaving.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
Okay, joining us in the break room, Georgia State University Professor Hector Fernandez, Georgia Department of Transportation spokeswoman Natalie Dale, Kalina Baller, who's host of the Credits podcast, and lawyer Stefan Turkheimer, who's the editor for Georgia Poll and should probably get off his smartphone.
Uh-oh.
Are you a millennial?
Happy New Year.
He's the oldest millennial I know. Okay, welcome, everyone. sorry to call you out there, Stefan.
No, it's fine.
Happy
no one
Friday.
Saw that at home, by the way.
All right. You know, some days, some of you may have even seen, I sometimes bring my dog Samus with me to work. Having her here makes me feel happy, right? Well, it turns out it also might be helping me live longer because Tove Fall, a Swedish epidemiologist, has just conducted a whole series of research studies in which, in fact, she looked at a third of the Swedish population who own dogs. And here she is talking about her research with PBS.
What we see here in this really large study where we look at more than 3.4 million people followed for 12 years, we see clear evidence that dog owners live longer.
Dog owners live longer. So, would you get a dog purely for the health benefits?
Yes.
Good job. Yeah, you're doing great.
Good warm up, guys. Good warm up.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that the evidence that they help you live longer is just overwhelming. I mean, first of all, you have to get up and make sure your dog is walked. You have to make sure they're taken care of. When you're taking care of something like someone that needs you, loves you unconditionally, wants you, for one, it's going to make you happy, and it's just generally going to make you physically healthier, I can imagine. So, yeah, let's get a dog. Everybody gets healthy, guys, in 2018.
I love my dog so much, like unhealthy amount. Like, I stalled on having a child for a very long time because I was afraid I would not love my child as much as my dog. I do, by
this
the way.
Real,
I do
folks.
Love my child as
this
much.
Is real.
I do
That's
love
a good
my
comparison.
Child. Just yeah, just and just so we're clear, I do love my child as much as my dog.
Of course.
But I am afraid that my longevity points that I'm banking from the health of the dog are going to all be wiped away when she passes because that's going to kill me. Like that is going to take away every bit of that I have banked because it's going to be so hard and it's going to rock me. So, yes, I would, and I'll get another one when something happens to her because they bring so much joy. But it's hard. I mean, there's a hard part about it too.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through that and it is terrible. But you know,
I'm so sorry.
You wait a year, you get another dog. I mean, what's really amazing is that Hector hasn't jumped in here since he's got scientifically proven the slowest lifespan left. Because he doesn't have a dog.
Oh, I'm vegetarian. I'm going to live 5 years more than you. No, that's it. I mean, I can't have dogs any longer because the doctors told me I'm allergic, but I love dogs. But the key thing is you have to love the animal. It's not going to be automatic. It's not like you have the dog and you're going to live longer. I mean, dogs are not dumb. They'll figure out if you don't love them.
And they also take work. They take work and dedication.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work and responsibility. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that volunteering they made you do, like in high school, like for either your resume or for like to graduate.
Gave you no benefits.
Yeah, and you're just sitting at a table.
For high school, what about all the corporate things? You're like, today's volunteer day, and everyone's swearing while they.
At least then you get a T-shirt, though. You don't get a T-shirt if you get a dog.
All right, let's go from moving talking about dogs to talking about dogs. The Georgia Bulldogs pulled off an incredible victory in the Rose Bowl last week, and they will face Alabama Monday night to fight for the national championship title. And there is a lot being said about this game because the rivalry is so historic. So, best game ever?
No.
Whoa.
All right.
No.
Ms. Dale.
Look.
Wait, all the eyes. No.
She's with transportation. She's thinking about traffic.
Yeah, she's thinking about something else.
Yeah, no, I am. Yes, the traffic. Two fan bases within driving distance headed here gives me it makes me drink more wine than I should. But however, and I'm not saying this as an Auburn fan. That's an easy target.
Oh my goodness.
But I
oh
think
God.
That I know. Jeez. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh
okay, we still love
no,
you.
No, I think that we are. I think that regionally this is the biggest game ever. I think we're overestimating how much someone in Oregon or California cares about
nobody
Georgia
Oregon,
and Alabama.
Nobody in Oregon cares about anything. That's like their whole thing.
Nobody else cares but Alabama and Georgia. That's
yeah.
it.
Okay, so someone in Boston, like regionally, this is the biggest game ever.
But
yes.
that's the whole point, because Atlanta is the center of college football. Like the rest of these areas, like the Pacific Northwest, does not care about college football the way the South does. And you've got all these transplants from all these other places who bring their allegiances, and then it mixes in. You've got these huge college football programs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be interested just a darn minute.
Okay, go ahead.
As an alumna of University of Michigan, I can tell you,
Michigan's a strong one.
And having grown up in Southern California, where you've got the rivalry between USC and UCLA, I don't know
right,
that we
but
can
I actually
say
think
other
you,
regions don't
I actually
care.
Think you no, I'm not saying they don't care necessarily. I'm saying Oregon doesn't care that much. But my second point is, like, there's a lot of people from Michigan in Atlanta. There's a lot of people from Ohio
fair.
In Atlanta.
That's fair.
There's a lot of sort of transplants from these strong college football
Again, so regionally, it's going to be great, but I want to see the ESPN numbers. I want to see the ESPN numbers for people who watch this outside,
outside of the South.
All right, I will interject. I mean, regardless of the fact, it's about exploiting the college athlete. And this is the climax. For one, I don't care about the sports because it's morbid. Two, I don't care about either of the institutions because of what they represent academically as flagships, which is societal and racial exclusion. So much for the game.
This is the talk we should have at the beginning of 2018.
This is definitely our Friday talk. I will point out that people that own elephants don't live longer. So.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what that
means. That's the mascot of Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh.
Alabama. Okay.
That doesn't work? I'll work on that joke and come back.
Well, people who own tigers don't live as long either because they typically get mauled by them.
That's true. Mike Tyson told me that.
We have gone into a very weird place, and let's move on to the next topic before this gets any worse. All right. Food. That's innocuous, right? Food. The website OpenTable, used by millions, has ranked the 100 best restaurants in America. Three of them are in Atlanta. So... let's forget OpenTable for just one moment and who they picked. But my question is, what actually makes a restaurant a best restaurant for you? Like, if I were to ask you what your best restaurants are, what are the qualities of a restaurant that actually make it awesome?
The entire experience, from the moment you go in to the moment you go out. The food is important, but the food is not everything.
I agree with that. Right now, if I were picking a restaurant, I'd pick one that had like the two front door situation. So every time the front door didn't open, it wasn't a bunch of cold air.
Mm. Southerners are so thrown by this cold
you gotta
weather.
I'll say this. I enjoy restaurants that have certain staples that just don't change all that much. It's something with familiarity.
Exactly.
Staples on their menu.
Yeah, like?
Oh,
you
God,
mean
like, so
like
recipes
for how long?
That the
right.
whole menu doesn't change.
Exactly. Now I'm fine with you know, experimenting, adding new things to the menu, but there's certain core, like popular dishes. I kinda like that. You wanna have something where you come back to, bring your grandchildren to, and you know,
like a gastronomic backbone.
Like McDonald's?
Right. All right. Okay,
ooh,
no.
Staples,
okay.
Just
no.
the basics.
Okay.
I like that Cheers philosophy, though. I like where everybody knows my name.
Yeah.
And I don't like a place necessarily where it takes me 3 months to get a reservation. Like, I like
I
a place
that
I can just roll in on a Friday night, and they're like, hey, Natalie. And it's like, let's, you know,
feel,
it's more of an extension of your home.
And it's not on this particular
Natalie
list.
Natalie Dale eats out a lot, ladies and gentlemen.
It sounds like it.
Sounds like her own kitchen.
In general. But I love Mary Mac's Tea Room for that very reason. And none other than that necessarily at the top of this list for Atlanta. But there are certain staples on that menu that you can count on time and time again. There's also that familiarity aspect to it. You know, they walk in and you say, oh, hey, girl. Or they may not know your name, but they'll recognize the face. I love it. I think
what
it's
about
great.
Other qualities? Like, does it need to be quiet enough for you to have a conversation? Or
yes.
Do you...
That helps.
Clean bathrooms.
Yes.
Oh, that is important.
Yeah, important.
That's really important.
I actually have to say design is super important to me, as opposed to, like, the architectural design and the interior design is
feng
really important.
Feng shui.
I mean, yeah. Like, honestly, I want to go in the bathroom and have there be funky wallpaper. I mean, in design.
Clean, funky wallpaper.
Yeah.
You see, everyone has their own test for whether something's good or not. I would not have included funky wallpaper.
Well.
But Stefan Turkheimer does. Of course, everyone out there listening, you can tell us what is most important. I feel like a lot of people are going to say heating at this moment, but, you know, look.
I think it should be heated.
You know how to free warm drinks.
Mm. You can reach us at 404-500-9457 or find us on Twitter. It's at OSD Talk. We still have a couple minutes left, and we can continue to talk about restaurants if you guys are ready to tell us what your favorite restaurants are in Atlanta. Are we ready for that?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I've been ready.
Natalie is nodding. I feel like she's only thinking about food at this point. Yes.
So, yes, I am. So there's a place up by me in the Smyrna area called Porchlight Latin Kitchen, and it is probably 20, 25 seats. And, again, I go in. Andre knows my name. He's known my daughter since she was born. He's known my daughter since before she was born. He is making his grandmother's recipes from Puerto Rico, and they are amazing. And now I want to go eat.
Now she's ready for a little amazing. Bit.
Was that a good sell? Does anyone want to go there?
That was good. They also did a lot for the Puerto Rican relief efforts.
They did. They did. They loaded up planes and sent stuff to Puerto Rico. So a great community, a great asset to the community by food and just by what they give.
We got about a minute left, guys. Favorite restaurant, Stefan?
Oh, my God. There are so many, honestly. This is a tough one. All right. I'll say Smoke Ring in Castleberry Hill, which has phenomenal barbecue. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be packed for the championship game. But other than that, go down there for lunch. You will not regret it.
Kalina?
I agree. I did mention Mary Mac's Tea Room. There is a Cuban restaurant in Hapeville where I live. It is fantastic. It's right on North Central. And
it's called
La Mamacita, something like that. And I can't remember. But, you know, to be honest, it's the one with the blue face.
I bet you're correct on that.
I'm telling you, but it's the only building on the street with a bright blue front on it. And it's beautiful. The woman in there just gives me life. The Cuban coffee is fantastic. The sandwiches are fantastic. All the dishes are fantastic. And, again, it's one of those small hole-in-the-wall places. They recently expanded, so they added 10 more tables to the 5 they had. So it's so great. I love it.
And Hector?
I'll go Indian. Chai Pat Educator.
I'm always looking for good Indian. That's good. Yeah.
These are really great recommendations. It is Friday. We're hanging out in the break room. Just ahead, one restaurant that is generating a lot of buzz by serving to nude people. We'll also talk about whether Twitter should be used by our world leaders. Stay with us. This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. We're having some coffee and some conversation in the break room, as we do every Friday. My guest today, Kalina Baller, host of the Credits podcast, lawyer Stefan Turkheimer, editor of George Poll, Natalie Dale of the Georgia Department of Transportation, and Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University. All right. I first want to mention that everyone in the break room today is clothed, but we are going to talk about a restaurant in which people are not clothed. Paris has opened its first restaurant that caters to nude people.
Oh my God, she's got hair growing out of her boobs and up to her head.
You're completely
nude? Yes, we're nudists.
Permission to freak out!
The restaurant is called Au Naturel, and people eat wearing just their napkins. Would you try it?
I am a hard no. I am a pretty hard no on naked eating. And have we not learned our lesson about, like, the fall of man is based on naked eating? Adam and Eve, up with their fig leaves. They didn't even have fig leaves at that point. They were just buck naked. Mm-hmm. And then here came the apple, and they were like, I'm going to naked eat. And here we are.
It wasn't the nudity that was the problem.
But they were still naked eating, therein lies the problem. So I think naked eating expired at the dawn of man.
Before I begin on that, the restaurant I referred to earlier in the segment is Mommy's La Cubana, okay?
But they require clothes.
You are clothed there. Yeah, that's they will not serve you if you walk in naked. It is different. That's why I wanted to look it up and make sure I said it correct.
Have you walked in naked in order to find this out?
No. Now, that being said, I would love to try that nude restaurant. But then I'm cool with my body. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. I feel like it's like a nude beach. If you don't want to go to a nude beach, just don't go. Do you know what I mean?
Europeans are much more comfortable with nudity. Ooh,
well, absolutely.
Here's the thing, okay? And I don't mean to go back to my one criterion for restaurant.
Funky wallpaper.
Funky wallpaper. But before that, what's the temperature of this restaurant? Because, like, listen. I cannot, I don't even want to go outside. I have to go to this restaurant somehow, right?
Right.
Am I gonna really walk in, get completely naked, and then eat?
Well, you might have a trench coat on.
It's France.
Oh, is that the thing?
They have good heating.
What, you want?
Not, the eating isn't really the issue.
Do they have this?
Heating.
Wait, Hector,
heating.
I assume that you would go.
What happens if you spill hot?
No, I mean, this is neither hygienic nor practical. I mean, I really wouldn't participate in it. What happens if you spill something?
Yes.
Yeah. Or a knife falls on your lap.
That's not something I want to imagine.
Yeah. I feel like that was an episode of Friends or Seinfeld or something. It had to be something.
I don't know.
I'd still try it.
Look, maybe some of our listeners would try it. We definitely want to hear from you if you would. And you know
no
how to
pictures,
reach us.
Please.
is a hairnet store
definitely
required?
No pictures.
Ooh, I imagine so.
Okay.
But where?
Let's move on and talk about Twitter, and hopefully nobody's going to be tweeting us pictures of that. Anyhow, this week, President Trump made headlines with, again, a tweet. There's a war of words with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Trump said he has a nuclear button that is bigger and more powerful than Kim's, and it works. Well, there's an op-ed in The Atlantic that suggests maybe world leaders, including Trump, should be banned from using Twitter. The writer says the platform encourages impulsive hostility that could be catastrophic. Do we agree?
Absolutely. I mean, Twitter is not the place to be ventilating national policy. I mean, if you have a member of the U.S. government, they're talking for everybody, for citizens and taxpayers. So if they want to say something, they should abstain from personal social media and just defer to the official channels.
I totally agree with everything you said except your point.
Wait a minute.
That sounds so much like you.
Just wait for it, buddy. It's going to be fine. My point is, like, yeah, they shouldn't use Twitter this way. But the option is, like, would you rather him tell the nation that on Twitter or, like, tell a general that to do it? Like, I don't want these thoughts to be actually going into regular
channels. You know the answer to that.
What's that?
Ellie Dale's, like, holding her head. We're aging her while she's listening to you guys.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how, for the first time in as many years as I've been doing this, I finally agree with Hector. Yes!
That's a good one.
And bringing people together.
Now, I am going to call First Amendment on this one. And I can't believe it, but
it's one of the top amendments.
It is, actually. It's number one.
It is.
That said, if any world leader wants to have a Twitter account, whether they have someone tweeting for them or not, they should be able to have one. But we should then look at and judge how they're utilizing the platform. And if they are causing harm to an entire nation or possibly putting an entire nation at risk,
we can't do a thing.
But there's all kinds of limitations.
There's all kinds of limitations. They're already pulling people that say, you know what, this group should not be able to be on Twitter. Twitter does that. They're saying, you know what, you violated terms of service. I don't understand how Trump yet has not violated terms of service. However, I agree with his right to have a Twitter account.
Well, sure.
I can't believe
so the private sector is going to limit the public sector.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is basically what, right. But wait, which side are you on? I'm really confused.
I'm confused again. we can't just say, you know what? Once you take this particular job, then you forfeit your right to be able to say
we
whatever.
We say that all the time.
Yeah, we do, actually. Here's my thing. Like, we could all block him. Like, we could have a nationwide Trump blocking campaign where we all decide to block him on Twitter.
That's a great
Yeah, that's going to work.
No.
Oh, my God. Natalie Dale is agreeing with both Hector and Stefan Turkheimer.
No, I just... Okay, so I gave up Twitter for as part of my New Year's resolution. I find
self-care.
It to be... Self-care. I find it to be incredibly mentally... I get on there and I never leave going... Even when people like what I say or they're like, oh, that was funny. I never leave going, oh, I'm refreshed and I'm going to go do something productive. And I always leave going, I saw the dumbest thing. And oh, my gosh, I can't believe people have a platform to spew their whatever. And so I don't think it's healthy. And then I want the leader of the free world to have a healthy mentality about everything, if that's not too much to ask. And so
you think Twitter might
but
be
you know
causing
what I'm,
this.
You know what I'm, I agree.
I think Twitter causes
I'm happy
a lot of
that,
awful things.
I'm happy that he has a Twitter account because we can actually have physical evidence of his mental decline. Do you see what I'm saying?
That is helpful.
Over years. So
for
now we it's
purposes.
Literally on the record.
So, Reagan had mental decline and we did not do a thing.
Twitter might show a little mental decline on my behalf.
On Twitter. In any case, let's talk about another habit of the presidents. A common criticism against many presidents is that they spend too much time golfing. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump said he wouldn't even have time to hit the golf course.
If you become president and you go to the White House, why would you want to leave the White House?
When you're in the White House, who the hell wants to play golf?
According to CNN, Trump visited the Trump-named golf club 92 times since he became president nearly a year ago. The costs of those trips are supposedly somewhere between $40 and $50 million for U.S. taxpayers. His staff says golf makes him a better president. So do we care? In the end, do we care how much time he spends playing golf?
No, I want him to play as much golf as humanly possible, because it goes back to the last topic, which is, I believe that is the only respite we get from him being on Twitter.
Oh my God.
And so if it's 18 holes or it's 36 holes or he becomes a professional caddy, I want him out there and I want him off his phone.
So he's going to be playing golf while the nation goes adrift.
If he's playing golf, is the nation going adrift? There's the question.
Look, retirement can come slowly or quickly. And I think he should just sort of slowly drift into playing golf every day.
Amen. And turn senile.
I can't believe that guy's president. Oh, God.
Okay, look, there's a lot of...
It is somewhat surprising. Sorry, not sorry. But it turns out it was surprising to him as well. We do have
many listeners who were Trump voters and still Trump supporters. If you are one of them, we would love to hear if you care about the president's golf habit or not. And I ask that because this was a frequent criticism of Barack Obama that Trump made. So does it matter
now? Well documented on Twitter.
Trump aside, let's just for this point of this argument just say a president. Should a president play this much golf?
Right.
And I would say no. In all seriousness, I would say no, because you have 4 years to make, four, maybe 8 years to make a big impact on this country. If that means you step away from the golf course for 4 years, I would really advocate for that. We've got enough going on in our country and enough going on in our world that should take about every second of 4 years for you.
Beyond golf, should the president be this much of a hypocrite? I mean,
okay, we're gonna move on. If you're just joining us, we are hanging out in the Breck Room. You just heard. Just heard Natalie Dale, the Department of Transportation, Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University, Kalina Baller is host of the Credits Podcast, and lawyer Stefan Turkheimer, who is editor for Georgia Poll. In the wake of Matt Lauer's abrupt departure as co-host of the Today Show, longtime Today Show co-anchor Hoda Kotb, am I saying that right, will permanently replace Lauer?
Kotb?
Kotby. Kotby. Today Show co-anchor Stephanie says no. Okay, co-anchor Savannah Guthrie talked about the change and Hoda's ascension earlier this week.
Hoda is officially the co-anchor of Today. Let's give her a round of applause. This has to be the most popular decision NBC News has ever made.
Here's the wrinkle. Hoda is going to earn nearly $20 million less per year than Matt Lauer did. So do we call this a win for women?
This is the way discrimination works. A company replaces man with a woman. They get great PR, and they save tons of money. I mean, in Latin America, there are entire companies, banks built on this premise. They prioritize the hiring of women only so they have a really lean salary structure. I mean, it should be like in Iceland. In Iceland, it's mandated by law. For the same position, you have the same salary.
Yeah, I think it was lazy. I think it was a lazy PR move. I think if you really wanted to stick it to the issue, you would have put Ann Curry back in and paid her twice as much as what Matt Lauer was making. But I think that taking a woman who is already on staff and just shifting her into a new time slot, expanding her time slot, and paying her less just for the optics of it was probably a lazier move. And I would have loved for them to have put more thought into it.
Yeah, she does get free wine, though.
Oh, my Lord.
She got that before.
She got that before.
Well,
she now
says wine down Wednesday.
I think we're missing the point also that while, this is a PR move that people seem to love, Hoda agreed to it. She took the job.
Well, obviously, she's not going to say no. I mean,
she's making less.
Yeah, but
why would she? Why?
And she has every reason and every platform right now to stand up and say
absolutely not. Yeah. Pay me.
Long term, she's going to cash in big time. That's for sure.
That's what they always say. As a woman, they always say that.
But the patriarchy makes this all so hard, man.
Oh Lord!
All right, maybe we need to chill out over the New Year holiday weekend.
I need some tea.
About 70 people were arrested at a party on suspicion of possessing less than an ounce of marijuana. Now, I want to be clear. They found one little baggie that had less than an ounce of marijuana. None of the people there would admit to being the owner of that little baggie, and so therefore they were arrested, all of them. That happened in Cartersville near Atlanta. So do we think police went overboard here, or should the owner just have fessed up?
They definitely went overboard. This is ridiculous. My favorite part about this is, okay, so you can arrest someone if the bag is in their area of control, right? So it's like, this is a little Fourth Amendment stuff for you guys.
Yay.
If you get pulled over, everything that's within your arm's reach is potentially attributable to you, right?
Right.
So I want you to think about a small baggie of marijuana and how many people you can get surrounding it and how how much space you're going to need to try and get 70 people in arm's reach of it without using some sort of like zero gravity sphere.
Right. Yeah.
I want to know who the person is who stood there and let 70 people be arrested.
Maybe
instead
that person
of going,
had left.
Instead of going, yeah, that was mine.
Maybe
yeah, but
left
you're right.
The
they could have left the party. But yeah, this is way overboard, Cartersville. This
pot
is not,
needs to be decriminalized. I mean,
100%.
Meanwhile, we have the elf we have as, you know, national attorney. I mean, you know, he's whatever he's doing, he's putting all the weight of the law, once again, on top of pot. I mean, it makes no sense at all. The generational gap is really showing because I know for a fact that my students, most of them, to them, pot is a non-issue.
Okay. We have just about 3 minutes left, although I do want to send that question out to listeners also. That would be interesting. If you think the police should have just gone ahead and arrested everybody because they weren't being cooperative, I guess, or this was going a little overboard. All right. We are less than a week into 2018. And look, do any of you still make resolutions? Anyone?
I have like a resolution a day. I have like a rotating
calendar.
So that's
I'm
like
not how
Monday.
They work,
no. But so like if I can successfully get through Monday without being on Twitter.
Oh, you have like 24-hour resolutions.
Wait, your resolution is just to get through Monday? I guess it's guaranteed success.
Tuesday.
So on Monday, we have a national championship game, potential sleet in the forecast, coming in. Yes, my New Year's resolution is to make it through Monday.
All right. Have any of you ever stuck to a resolution all year long?
I tried to wear hoodies every day for a year. That worked.
You're in one now.
I'm successful so far.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Like, everyone wants to go to the gym and do all that kind of stuff. Why isn't junk food on sale this week?
Ooh.
Like, no one else is buying it except for me. Like, why do I have to pay full price?
You're taking it in a totally different, surreal
Stephen,
direction.
Stay on the topic. All
sorry,
right?
guys.
Stay on the topic.
Sorry.
Well, for me, I actually do a New Year's ritual every New Year's Eve going into New Year's Day, where I write down on a little scrap piece of paper all the stuff I want to leave in the past year. I burn it. And then I write down in the new year all the stuff that I wish to, you know, attain or have resolutions and whatnot. And I fold it and bury that paper, open paper, in my yard somewhere. So it disintegrates, goes into the, you know, nature and all this. And it's kind of like a symbolic thing of I want these things to manifest in life. So I try to set my intention, but I honestly don't remember everything I write down on that paper. But
so what, you dig it up or?
No, I let it disintegrate. I let it go. And I say, you know what? If all of these things happen, they happen. And I remember some of those things from last year, and I have accomplished many of those things
that
I remember. So, yeah.
That works. I'm going to go do that when I get home.
That's nice.
Beautiful.
Great. That'll be my Friday. That'll be my Friday resolution.
I mean, it's
your
it's
whole
not
lawn
auditable.
Is going to be dug up if you're making one for
every week. Every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of you have actually
so
kept
my resolution,
resolution
for 2019 will be to hire a landscape architect at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I would be, and most resolutions do not last longer than a few weeks, according to research. So I'm always curious.
That sounds about correct.
I can't even make it a few days.
I'm always curious about those resolutions that lasted a whole year. In any case, let us know if you are one of those incredibly disciplined people who has stuck to a resolution for a full year's time. In any case, we're out of time in the break room. I want to say thank you to all my guests. Natalie Dale, a spokeswoman for the Georgia Department of Transportation and Will Lose Your Mind Monday. Hector Fernandez at Georgia State University. Kalina Baller hosts the Credits podcast. And lawyer Stefan Turkheimer is the editor for Georgia Poll. Thanks, guys, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Work from home on Monday.
Have a great weekend.
Work from home on Monday.
Get that in real quick. Stay home.
If you made a New Year's resolution for 2018, you know how to reach us. Let us know what it was. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. For today and for the week, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great weekend.